Hello, Twins fans. This is John Swole with TwinsTrivia.com, and it is time once again for another chat with a player from the Twins' wonderful past. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with pitcher Juan Berenguer of the 1987 World Championship Twins. Juan pitched for the Twins from 1987 through 1990 and was known to Twins fans everywhere as Senior Smoke and El Gasolino. So let's see what Juan has to say. Juan, you were born in Panama. What first got you interested in baseball as you were growing up?
Well, I played with interest me because my brother, the older one, Jose Berenguer, used to be a pitcher. I watched him pitching a lot of games and a lot of excitements. And he's one of the best pitchers for the national team for Panama, for my country.
I see.
And he gave me a lot of lesson and a lot is, and I pitched for him when he's a manager, a little lead, and that's when I interested to play more baseball.
Okay. You ended up signing as a free agent with the New York Mets in January of 1975. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, in 1970, I make the national team from Panama, the Youngers. And I go to 1972 to Cuba, and that's when I meet Tony Oliva for the first time. Tony Oliva is in there for the opening ceremony, throw the first pitch, and he had a batting practice to all the Cuban people in there, as you can see him had a hit. And Tony tell me I throw hard, and I have a lot of opportunity to come to the United States, and that keep it in my mind. And when I give me the first chance, and to come into the opportunity to come to the United States, and I said I want to go. And I asked my mom. I said, "Well, see, if that's you go on and I take them all my chances." And I sign it, coming to the United States and play baseball.
So you've known Tony Oliva for a long time, then?
Yeah, for a long time, and I still the compadre.
Yeah, Tony's a real fixture around here, and he seems like a really nice guy.
Yep, and he helped me a lot too when I pitched for the Twins too. He and Kerry Packer, he talked a lot about hitting and I talked about pitching, and I figured that bosses help each the other one, and it's kind of nice to have some kind of class guys like that and talking about baseball and hitting and in the meantime and I'm pitching and how you can make outs, and it kind of really make me more a smart pitcher when I come into the mounds.
Yeah. That's really nice. You ended up making your major league debut on August 17, 1978 at Shea Stadium when you started for the Mets against Gaylord Perry and the San Diego Padres. Can you tell us about your first big league game?
Yeah, my first big league game, I was kind of excited for myself because I coming up from Tidewater at Triple A for the Mets at the same time at my daughter was born on the same day, that about 3 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And in the hospital that day, that your daughter is the manager, and I remember that William Montañez is in first, and all these guys, the star is the catcher, and he said, that "You're looking tired." Jerry Kuzman, he's looking at me. He said, "You're looking tired." I said, "Well, my daughter is born," and he go tell somebody, they put in the big score, and I said, "Well, this is for my daughter." And I pitched, I think I remember I pitched that. I don't remember how many innings, but I think I pitched 6.
Yep. It's kind of tough to make your major league debut and have your daughter born earlier that morning.
I know, and I don't sleep too much, but I want to go in there and take the ball.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
After spending most of 1979 and 1980 in the minors, except for some September call-ups, the Mets traded you to the Kansas City Royals in March of 1981. Then your travels took you to the Toronto Blue Jays, the Detroit Tigers, and the San Francisco Giants before you signed a free agent contract with Minnesota in January of 1987. Why did you sign with the Twins?
Well, first of all, when I traded to San Francisco, the pitching coach is Roger Craig, and he took a manager in San Francisco, and he said, "I want to take you with me, and you will be my starting pitcher." And he's kind of, he's got the rail, he's the closer, and he go down and they put me in the bullpens, and he stayed me in the bullpen for a long time, and I believe it in June or July, Ron Davis, the closer for the Twins, he's been pitching corpses and everything, and Rick Miller from Baltimore, he's the manager there. They give me a call, and I'm there to see I'd like to come to Minnesota. Antonio Levy gave me a call, and I said, yes, well, you know, make the deal, and I'm happy to go. And, so the San Francisco Giants is in the first place that year, and they don't want to do it. And I talked to the general manager, Al Rosen, he was used to be the manager for San Francisco. He asked me, where you want to go? And I said, well, I'm in Minnesota, you need a pitching in them. And he said, oh, you pick the right place to go. And I said, well, right now, I don't want to trade you, so you have to wait. And then the first choice is when I come in a free agent, and I come into Minnesota, talk to Andy McPhail and Tom Kelly, and that's when I ended over here.
Okay. It's interesting. 1987 turned out to be a magical season for the Twins, and you played a huge role on that team. You finished the season with an 8-1 record and a 3.94 ERA in 47 games, pitching primarily in relief, but you also started 7 games, and you ended up striking out 110 batters in 112 innings during the regular season. What do you remember most about the team as they played their way into the playoffs?
You know, things, when I play for, I play a couple of things, it's really good, but I play for Detroit, it's also win the 84 World Series champion too.
Mm-hmm.
When I play in Minnesota, it's like, you have a lot of players, I think by that time, Kirby Puckett, he can be one of the big heroes, and he never had any big head, like a lot of players I played for before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody tried to contribute and then, or chaired with part-time, and then because Al Newman played a lot of second base, he played short, Gagne, and Lombardozzi. The only day, the guys he played every day is Gagliardi and Ken Herbert, Brunaski, Terry Packett, and Dan Gladden. And then Steve Lund is in the catcher, Randy Butch sometimes, and then a couple guys. But not more than the guys, I mean, he's gone, everybody chaired, part-time, Jim Larkin, and everybody. It's like everybody wanted, everybody say, let's go have a dinner, guys, and then probably 20 guys, 24 showed up.
Wow.
And I think that's the big thing, too. And you have a very bright 11 in there, Viola, the help of the younger kids. And you know, I believe that year is a lot of the pitchers is kind of older, they kind of have an experience to be in the big league.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the bullpen, you have a Kid Atherton, Joe Frazier, and the only guy that rookie that believed in less strike it, and you never know when he will be ready to pitch. And every time he gets the ball, he did a good job. He pitched 7 innings, and everybody is did it. And a lot of the time, Kelly's looking at me and he said, you go have any ball today? And I said, holy cow, you should have been last night. And I said, well, this is my decision today. And I never say no. I used to go in there and try to do my job, and I believe it is everybody did a good job that year, and the coaches and Don Kelly make the right move, and that's the reason is when you stay together, you come in a champion.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a family, and you guys all got along well.
Yeah, everybody gets along good in there, and it's like you played 162 games, and that's a long. You spend more time with everybody than you spend time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come up with more family in there and get along together and share together. A lot of people right now that I think they played and then share by himself and then try to give them more they can. But it's also he's only going in there and share for everybody.
You ended up going on to beat the Tigers in the American League Championship Series, and you pitched in 4 games through 6 innings, giving up only 1 earned run. What was it like to pitch against and beat your former team to advance to the World Series?
I think that's more bigger to myself that year, because everybody said, and every place that Detroit go, they can also only in three games. And in short series, everybody, the postseason really, they play in the Metrodome. It's like it's a net in there. The Aussie believe that nobody can beat us in the Metrodome. And Aussie say, well, they'll go start in the Metrodome, see Aussie win two, and they only have to go get a one in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only Aussie thinking of that one. And when Aussie win the first one, win the second one, everybody say, well, now, only have to go get a one in there, and everybody say, Tanahashi no can stop up. It's not going to really no can stop up. Aussie knocking down the first two guys, Jack Morin and Alexander. That's the only two guys that Aussie have to worry about, and these two guys go down quick.
Yeah.
When Aussie go in there, I only have to go knocking down one, and that's when Tom Kelly picked me out again, and then bring Jeff, and I believe it is last standard. I believe it's at the edge, and I hit a home run by Jeff, and I'm beat us in the games, and not the second.
Yeah, it's Yeah, excuse me. You know, Alexander was like 10-0 or 11-0 or something like that to end the season going into the playoffs, if I remember right.
Yeah, and that's what everybody's talking about. That these two guys, they can beat us in Minnesota, they can beat us in there. And that's when Sparky Anderson is coming back, and I said, and he said the word is, leave the dog sleeping and don't wake him up. And I tell him, it's not so matter if you wake up, you're going to be in there and go home right away.
What, you know, Tom Kelly was a young manager at that time. What was TK like to play for?
You know, TK is one of the guys that he's sick, relaxed, and he tell us, and he said, you know, you guys, you're old enough. A lot of the guys here, they've been pitching a lot of pressures, and he said, once you be in the playoffs, you be in the World Series, you know what it is. Go in there and do your job, and not no matter what you do today, be ready for the next day, because I go put you right back against, so you can make sure that you are in there and be ready for. And I believe it give me all the chances, and that's what I go in there and do my job.
Okay. What are your memories of that great welcome back at the Metrodome that the fans gave the Twins after you beat the Tigers for the American League Championship?
You know, that's the more exciting things, and I never see that in the Metrodomes. And the people from here, because I played in the World Series, and Detroit, and there is complete difference to Minnesota. Minnesota is one is to share the next step to go to the World Series. And then Detroit is burning so much car and shootings and...
Yeah.
They did so many things to the city that you know should do it, did it. Minnesota, the only one is they tell us when the game is over, they said, well, I want everybody to be ready to go through the Metrodomes, and they go have 10,000 people in there. Obviously, 10,000 people, no way, Minnesota probably have it 50,000 for sure. And obviously, walking in there, coming from the airport, you can see people that hanging in the bridge and sign. It's amazing to see something like that, what is that Minnesota doing, and the fans did it to celebrate, to you know, welcome to us, to come back to the city and to the Metrodomes, and to be in the next step to get it to the championship.
I was one of the people that was there, and I can still remember you wearing that hat, the trench coat, and you were carrying a briefcase. Everyone still wants to know what you had in that briefcase, Juan.
I know that you already say that. I used to talk to Tony and Kerry. I said, you know, I scan on flying, and if that thing is that bad in there, you don't have no control when you go down.
Yeah.
They laughed and I really said, what you got in there? And I said, I have a picture there, my mom, my families, and everything. I have my music from Panama. And I always sit in the back of Kirby and he said, give me one of the you cha-cha-cha music. I can sleep like you sleep. I said, you don't understand. He said, I don't care. I have it only my personal things and my wallet up in there. special thing for my country, for the Indian thing they make for me. And I want to make sure that I don't want to lose it, because in 84, and in Detroit, I put it down, and I celebrate, and I lose my briefcase, and I never get it back. At this time, and I want to make sure that I carry it every time I put it before I pick him up quick.
No, that was great. That was great. Then the Twins advanced to the World Series and beat the Cardinals in 7 games, and you had the opportunity to pitch 3 times, although you did end up losing game 3, I believe. Tell us what it was like to take the mound in a World Series game with the whole world watching you.
Yeah, that day, let's strike any pitching, and this cool side, and the game you going through this 7 innings, and let's take it, I have it a 1-0 shutout, and I cannot get it loose, no excuses, but I'm freezing that day, and I cannot hit my spot, and I don't control my split finger for stride, drinking ball, I don't control that. The only I can hit is my fastball, and they looking for the fastball. I believe they have it like a 3 or 4 infield hits, and I face a Tony Pena so many times, and I hit it a little blooper from second base for scoring another runs, and Don Kelly, when he said it, it's not your day today, then I said, no, but I screw my game because I want to beat this guy in here. and he said, well, let's go see that this guy he get him from that game is kind of wake up, because they take another 2 games from us. And that's when then everybody said, well, let's go back in home and see what happened. And it's amazing because everybody talking about the plane coming back. And I know the news, all the report is in there, and they talking about where they only have to lose one more than you are, guys.
Yep.
Ozzy Harris so confident. Everybody said, this game going to be over than home. Don't worry, going to the Metrodome, to the Nets. And that's coming back, Ozzy is winning. I pitched Bolivia 3 innings, and then the sixth game, I pitched 3 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't throw too many fastballs. I throw a lot of split finger and breaking ball, because they're looking for the fastball. And because I get a phone call from my brother, too, from Panama, and he said, you never throw any breaking ball in the game, 3 games, and in San Luis, you throw everything fastball. You're looking for that as the game. Next time, be ready to throw some couple breaking ball and a split finger. And that's what I did. And then this 6 game in the playoff and the World Series in Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, you had better results there.
Yep.
You ended up pitching for the Twins in 1988, 89, and 90 before leaving Minnesota as a free agent after the 1990 season, and you signed with the Atlanta Braves. I believe you suffered a broken arm in August, and you missed the rest of the 91 season and the opportunity to face the Twins in a World Series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I kind of have a little tender in my arm, and I've been talking to the trainer, and he said, well, take a couple of days, and I have an opportunity to save and all the games, and that night before he hit it to San Francisco, and I kind of got worried, because San Francisco in the Bay, it's cold and yeah, windy, and the game is so close, and I cannot get it loose, and I go to the miles, and I talk to Clark, the first baseman, and talk to Mitchell, and the third base. And he said, what do you think? And I said, I'm really tight, but I want to go. I tell him, he said, play really good, close to the base, because I go pitching inside.
Yeah.
And I throw them, and I get out of there, and I feel something up in my arm. And I feel like it's electricity going through my arms. And the next one, I finish the games, and then when I go back to give me fire, this guy in my arm, I don't think get on my arm. And I say, going inside to the trainer, and I said, I think I had something, and let's go up to the hospital. And I shame right away, and I showered, and I go to the hospital, I took some pictures, the MRI, and then my arm is getting bigger and bigger, and I had to wait, and they put me in a 15-day disabled ease, and I never can get it better, and they don't even find nothing to Dr. Andrew in Alabama. I went in there and he did some tests and everything. He said you have a fracture, and the only way he can do it is right now. And if you do it right now, you're probably pitching in the worst. And the Atlanta Braves don't want to do it right away. They want to wait and see if I can get it better before, you know, for the September, but I never can get ready then. And I tell him, I said, I think that I get a little pain in September, but it's 25, so the bullpen, I feel a little pain, I think that I can go, and they tell me no, and because I want to go face the Twins, and that's the more thing I want to do. It.
Yeah, that would have been exciting for you.
Yeah, and I bet and they say no, but the doctor, he said, I don't want you to get a permission, nothing like that. And then, you know, I said, okay, I'll see them there, and when Gil Anthony hit it out, and I said, man. And I tell this guy in Atlanta, they asked me a lot of questions about the Twins and how do you play games and the Twins and the Metrodons. I tell him, it's, you know, it's loud, and I really, these people go in there and he's wanted to win. And these people, you know, play 100%, he played more than 100% in there. And so you get a lead, you have to beat this guy because they coming back. And I tell him, he said, you have a chance to carry back, you coming back at 2 hours or somebody face, you better walk at that guy because this guy is there. He's like a hero, he can see anything. And then they don't listen to me, he prefer to pitch a carry back and I should pitch the next guy. Mm-hmm. I carry back, he hit a home run, he said, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a memory for us here.
Yeah, it's Bobby Cappy coming back and I left my son and I say, that's the truth that you said one. I say, yeah. I told you that. I say, you have to win one game in the Metrodome before you go to Atlanta because you coming back from there, you don't have no chance. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Getting 87, remember that they win two at home, they go in there, they lose three.
Yep.
And I'm coming back in the Metrodome, they win.
Yeah, the Metrodome was a special place for the Twins.
Special place, and I tell him, he said, this guy in there is like a target. He's not letting go of one of the bigger games. And then see Jack Murray going in there, he don't want to get out of the mound. And he know, you know, he won the ball. And I play with him, and he's the guy that won the big game. He want to be there because he's a big horse.
Yeah.
That time, and he takes 10 innings, and they know, he know that he can, you know, they come back and beat anybody.
Yeah, they were tough, and with Morris pitching, it was hard to beat. The Braves ended up trading you to the Kansas City Royals in 1992, and you finished your big league career there. But you still were not ready to walk away from competitive baseball at the age of 37, and you went on to play in Mexico and for several years in some Minnesota independent leagues from 94 to 97. Was it hard for you to walk away from baseball after 15 big league seasons?
No, and I think that I still have it. I try to negotiate with Kansas City. Kansas City wants to give me a split contract. That year, they have a kind of closer for the collusion. They want to give me a split contract because they don't want to lose two guys. He signed me, and I don't want to take it. And I said, I'll go take a chance, and maybe they're going to minor league with the Twins, and something like that. And I want to go down. I talked to Texas, and they tell me to go to Mexico, because that way they can see me pitch more and be in the minor league. And that's when I go in there, and I pitch for at least, I believe, maybe about 3 months, and I decide to come back home. And I'm pitching and deleting over here at Burkley also, and a couple of other people in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have, I believe you have 2 World Series rings and a National League Championship ring?
Yeah, I have 2 championship and 2 National League championships.
Oh, okay. One was with, the Braves, and one was with the Giants?
Well, 2 with the Braves, 91s. 82 and 84 and 87 for the one for Detroit, or zero and one for Minnesota.
Okay, that's pretty nice. Not many players can say they have that many rings.
Yeah, I'm kind of blessed with God, and then give me so many opportunities to be at the mounds, and then. And see, ending my career being hurt. But that's all right. I pitched for a long time, and I did a good job on myself, and my family really enjoyed me pitching, and especially in my country to see me pitching in the World Series. I think more three things they never can see it.
Yeah. What pitches did you throw, Juan?
Well, I used to use it more my fastball, split finger, slider. And I never use it or change it. I depend more on my fastball and the whole of my career. And I see a lot of pitchings and talk a lot of guys, Jerry Guzman, Don Seaver, Pat Sakovic, you know, Espinosa. And a lot of these guys, that they kind of tell me that you throw hard, so you keep it inside high, really high and tight, and you will be really successful. And then when I saw Barry talked to me a lot about pitching, and Barry had a great drinking board, and he said, you have the best fastball, I never see it, and you have to use it. The only thing, try to use it more, a little drinking board, and splitting it when you start pitching, when you're coming from the bullpen, is coming right out of this guy, because you have a lot of juice in there, and this guy, you know, way he can touch you, and that's what I did.
Okay. Yeah, you were a pretty intimidating sight on the mound with your long hair and your mustache. Was that there to help with your intimidation, or was that just you being you?
That's you being me, and I talk a lot of the guys, and a lot of Luis Tians, and a lot of the oldest guys, and he said, the way you pitch with your long hair is beating him out and try to make it hard, and looking at the hitters, and you know, I try to look into the hitters and look into the signs and the mean sign, and every time the hitter is asking for timeout, and I'm looking before he ready, and I try to go, we try to beat at the fastball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Cristiani tell me. They said, let it go, make a timeout, and when they try to come in back, and then go fast, and then you win it, you beat it for a little bit, you beat it, and then Tony tell me the same thing about that time, and that's what I'm looking for, and I only used to make a little mistake for the hitter, and I take advantage.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You were not afraid to show your emotion on the mound after a big strikeout. Did that ever get you in trouble with Tom Kelly or players from the opposing team?
No, I never get in fights. I used to go talk to all the hitters, and I used to tell them I like to come in inside. See, you hit the home runs, you do it whatever you want. And when I track you out, I go do my own things, and then I used to tell him, is enjoy when you hit me, and I go enjoy when I strike it out. I remember Bo Jackson, I struck him out here so many times, and one September in Kansas City, I believe it was in 99 maybe, something like that, and he said, today is my day one. I said, why? I want to hit you one, and I don't care. Throw me fastball as easy as I can hit one. I throw one, but Rory hit it one. That's a way, way out. And he keep shooting, and he say, why are you looking at me? And I'm looking at him. And, you know, he's excited to hit me the first base hit and the first home run for him. Hit me. And he went in the home plate, and he keep doing like a Pancho Villa dancing and all this stuff. And I okay, you enjoy, you go see the other guy. And I'm thought about he come in next guy, and he said, hey, why, I'm your friend. I said, go ahead, because I don't go hit you, man. And I did it deep to the field, but every time he got it. And then he came back, and after the game, he hugged me and everything. You know, I hit you one. I said, yeah, you hit me one. That's okay. It's even now.
that's a fun story.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson hit me one in Detroit, too. You know, he's out of stadium, and you know, Reggie Jackson, he used to be flipped his left shoulder, and then he go all the way to the dugout and give me a fight to this guy before he touched the base. I never say nothing to him, and then and the next time he coming back and I strike him out, I point to the scoreboard.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere on the internet that Sparky Anderson would talk to you and ask you not to shoot any more of his tigers.
Yeah, the Sparky come and talk to me, and he used to call me Bandito. I say, well, Bandito, I don't want you to do it no more. I said, I'm not going to do it no more. But I tell you, I got him out that day, and I forgot I struck him out Dave Herman, and I beat him again. The Sparky go, what's happened? I said, I don't know what happened. And after that, I talked to him the next day, and he said, you know what, do it. You've been pitching great for this guy, and you've always been doing great for those guys here. Now you're in there, and you're in the different size, different uniform, and you have to do your job. And that's the way they make you excited, that's the way you make you stuff in there, and continue to do it. And, yeah. And he don't say nothing after that.
Interesting. I think, what do you do today, Juan?
I'm here and working in sales with the internet, a couple of friends down here, and sales and cars, and like to keep it busy to myself, do something.
Okay. Wait, you live in Minnesota year round now. How are you adapting to the climate here? A lot different than Panama.
Yeah, I said, all my kids is in here, all my friends, and I like to fish, I like to hunt, and the people in here is so nice too. Every place I go, like Brennan, everything, Brennan is looking like my town, and when I go in there, everybody is love me, and that's what I like in Minnesota, because for every place I go, they treat me really good, very nice, and you have to treat people nice too, so they can treat you the way that you want to do.
Yep.
And that's what I did, and I saw Tony treat people, and that's what it is, and you treat people nice, and they treat you nice, and I believe in that, and the way that you want to be treated, that's the way you have to treat some people. And I really like Minnesota, and my kitty graduating here, and all my three kids, and two living in Chacopee, one in Chaska, and one in Chenhassen, and everybody is really close, and Minnesota is the favorite because I want to go see the Twins and the Wolves and basketball, so, you know, it's close, everything.
You've kind of taken an interest to hockey, I understand.
Yeah, and hockey is like my second choice. The only kid is playing hockey. I think that they make me more be aware. And I used to buy a chavo the first time I come to Minnesota, Tony laughing, and I kind of got chavo the arena, and I said, oh my God. I said, this is not going to be me. And the next day, I got to go buy some boots and clothes and everything, hat. And I tried to chavo for the kid he can play it, all this part. And I said, this is what you do every year. And I said, oh my God. My wife, he loves it. My wife is the old boy one, and she go buy me one of the, what do you call it, gas, what do you call it, to not use the chavos, you know, to go around.
Snowmobile?
No, for remove your snow.
Snowblower?
Snowblower. That was got me one, and this guy said, what, go on? I said, man, I said, it's more easy for me.
Yeah, it's a lot different. You have a son that played hockey for Hamlin, and he was a two-time All-American, I understand.
Yeah, he loves hockey. All his friends in here playing rollerblade hockey. He's a good ball player, but he chooses to play hockey. I never say no because that's than New Jersey to play in there. And see, he said he wanted to play a couple years and see if he get it back in there or what else. And he wanted to follow his dreams. He graduated from the Hamilton Ready and he wanted to try a couple years and see if he get in there. If he know, he said, at least he tried.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for, and you know if he didn't do it, he'd always wonder if he should have.
Yeah, and that's what he also is really close. I'm really close to my kids, and a lot of opinions, a lot of questions. And I ask you this: whatever you have in your heart, you should try whatever you want to do it. Because then later, you should start thinking, say, why I not did it. You do it, and nothing happened, at least you try.
Yep, yeah. One final question for you, Juan. What, is there anything you'd like to tell the Twins fans that have followed your wonderful career and your time here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I say thank you to the Paul family and Andy Marcel and Tom Kelly to give me all the opportunity to pitch for the Minnesota Twins, to pitch for myself, my family, more for the fans, because every time I used to go in there, I pitch more for the fans because they deserve it to be a winner. And all these years I've been pitching here, and I love to pitch in Minnesota because it's the best fan I've never played. In any place out in New York, mention all these things I play. Minnesota Twins is the best to pitch and to play baseball in here. And I hope so that they decide to bring better team next year. I hope so that this guy can prepare to play 162 games and then no hurt, and they can bring another championship to Minnesota for the fan, because this fan is so good and they deserve another championship in the new stadium.
Well, thank you for your time today, Juan. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.